Welcome. This is Christopher Holmes, and this is the Zero Point Show through BBS Radio. Oh, my goodness, what a day we have this week and this month and this year.
Oh, Lord.
This is Dee on there. Hi, Dee. Dee Nicholson.
I'm sorry, I'm just sitting here raring at the bit because I tell you, it's just been one hell of a week, that's all. I mean, Obama got reelected, you know, and there's questions on, of course, about voter fraud and how come Florida hasn't finished counting their votes yet and all kinds of stuff. And then there's the labeling proposition in California that purportedly failed, and we're going to have more to say on that.
Yeah, but and towards the end of the show, we'll have
show,
a good
yes.
coverage of that. That's
oh,
good.
Oh, yeah, because we've got to do this. I mean, I made the point in an email I sent out earlier today, you can impeach a president, you can get rid of him in 4 years, but when they contaminate our food supply, that's forever.
Yeah.
That is forever, no recall. So that's at the end of the show, but now, now we're going to have some fun. Yeah. Oh, yeah, because with us is our friend Shelley Ann Clark, who is whistleblower extraordinaire on trade agreements, particularly the one that she was involved in back when she was actually a minion of the government. And working for the number three man on the Canada-U.S. Free Trade Agreement, which, interestingly enough, Rick Mercer was talking about on his rant this week. He was talking about how, the trade agreement, the one that Shelley Ann was involved in, was so above board. There was a vote in Parliament. Hell, there was even an election, he says.
Oh, really?
Oh, yeah, it was open and above board. And Shelley Ann's going to tell us exactly how open and above board that one was. Because it wasn't, and nobody's ever seen it. Nobody has ever seen it. It's now a matter of national security in a bunker 50 clicks north of Ottawa. So exactly why is it doing that, and why are we having our prime minister sign a secret agreement in Russia with China? Why is that? So Shelley Ann, welcome Shelley Ann. Boy, do we need you now.
Well, thanks, Dee. Yes, this is far worse than the actual Canada-U.S. Free Trade Agreement, far, far worse. But if I may, I would like to take a moment to acknowledge a message that's just been given to me by my agent. According to my agent, I've developed quite a fan base outside Canada. And we'd like to take this opportunity to extend a warm welcome from Canada to all listeners from Tennessee, Arkansas, the Carolinas, California, Oklahoma, and Minnesota, and Texas, as well as our listeners from overseas, particularly from Great Britain, Ireland, New Zealand, and Australia. Reportedly, my book, The Sale of a Country, has had more success outside Canada. Even though The Sale of a Country is an historical account and is backed up with documentation, no one has responded to the many copies that were sent out to our politicians and our media. My public relations agent did a huge mail-out giving away copies of the book for people to review and to give our politicians the knowledge of its existence and the information that they would pick up on it. And no one, not the media, not the politicians, not the opposition, no one responded to what she sent. So the question is, Dee, is what's wrong with Canadians?
Okay,
I mean,
something is really wrong.
Do you have an answer?
I do. I do, and this is absolutely stunning. I found this out yesterday, and there's more on it today. Okay, and this is to do with the new FIPA treaty with China. Okay, apparently, a Selkirk Record reporter, now Selkirk is a little sleepy little town, more known for a now-closed mental institution in north of Winnipeg than it is as a town itself, But it, you know, nice little place. Anyway, there's a little newspaper there, and this reporter, Jill Winzowski, on October 19th, tweeted something that said that, you know, she didn't like the FIPA deal, and she thought it was, you know, not right to be secretive. And she got fired for it because her MP, James Bazan, conservative MP for Selkirk, he intervened with the editor of the paper and got her fired. Okay,
oh my
now another
God.
guy posted on his blog and Facebook all about being fired, and he has now been fired from his position with Enterprise News. Okay, so here we have
one journalist who
writes her MP on a personal capacity, ends up being fired, and then subsequently a colleague who speaks up about that injustice is also fired.
Wow.
Okay.
Well, that is really interesting, Dee, because I've got to tell you that, you know, first of all, I wanted to tell Canadians that connect me only with the Canada-U.S. Free Trade Agreement that today I'm here to bring to their attention a far worse evil than the Free Trade Agreement with the U.S. Actually, the Free Trade Agreement opened the door for Canada to do trade deals with countries all over the world, even the ones that have no regard for the environment and no regard for human rights. Now, I have been in touch with the opposition MPs, and I've also been in touch with the Minister of Natural Resources, who is heavily involved with FIPA. Now, today, we're faced with the insanity of FIPA, which stands for Foreign Investment Protection Agreement between Canada and China.
Mostly there.
And I ask that everyone listening to the show and that will listen to it in the future online pay very close attention to what I'm going to be telling them today, because it is very, very, very bad for Canada. Let me tell you a few things here on the Foreign Investment Protection Agreement with China. According to my source, this was a secret deal that Prime Minister Stephen Harper planned to pass in Parliament on Friday, November 2nd, that would tie us to China for 30 years. A deal that's far worse than a free trade deal. This deal would allow the Chinese investors to sue our Canadian government every time the Chinese, do not get what they want. What is it that they want the most, Dee? Our natural resources, of course.
Of course.
And that, I mean, that's where our wealth is in our natural resources. And I have a column on my website that says, I told you so. For Canadians that have listened to my interviews and read my book, The Sale of a Country, they'll remember that I have spoken about a book that former Prime Minister Brian Mulroney ordered all senior officials at the Federal Department of Foreign Affairs and International Trade Canada to read. This memo clearly stated that all senior officials were to use it as their Bible to assist them in implementing what needed to be done to achieve the final goal of a one-world government. And that's where China comes in. China, according to my source, is purchasing natural and making agreements, this protection agreement, with not only with Canada, but with countries overseas like Great Britain and Ireland and even Africa. So the name of that book was published by the Oxford University, and it was titled Our Global Neighborhood. And I read it. And the most horrifying chapters were the ones that underlined the fact that to achieve their goal of a new world order, the middle class had to be eliminated.
And sovereignties as well.
Well, you know, the agreement that they want to put in place that Stephen Harper were to pass on Friday, November 2nd, secretly, but somehow some sources got hold of it and spread the word around. I mean, I'm asking people that what they would do would definitely cause massive unemployment, and that would get rid of the middle class very quickly.
Oh, yeah.
So
oh, yeah.
I'm asking that Canadians remember the date of Friday, November 2nd, and it should be etched in their minds forever, because over time, all Canadians will begin to see and feel the consequences of that deal that is that's going to be made between our devil and their devil.
Exactly.
It was appropriate, you know, how appropriate that Harper chose to secretly approve that deal on a Friday, the last day of the week.
Yeah, and now we've only got till December 12th because...
December 10th, actually.
Is it the 10th? Well,
with all the organizations getting together and thousands and thousands of Canadians responded to our appeal, they were able to get the Prime Minister to not sign on November 2nd and to delay the entire matter until December 10th. And today is November 10th, so we have exactly 1 month do something about it.
1 month. But you know what?
1 month. It really gets worse, Dee. I've got here an article from Greg Autry that was published in our Ottawa Sun newspaper. And Greg Autry is the author of a book titled Death by China. And here's what he has to say on it, and I'm going to repeat it because I really want Canadians to wake up and take stands for a change. He says, Albert Einstein once said, the world will not be destroyed by those who do nothing, but rather by those who watch them and do nothing. There are two films that were shown here in Ottawa. One was called Free China, and the other one was titled Death by China. If you watch those films, you realize that at their core, both films are essays on the outcome of conceding power to an unethical regime. And of course, everyone knows that in China, there are no human rights. They do not regard or respect human rights, nor the environment. And those are two essential things for people to survive. Death by China is an excellent movie, and it exposes the insanity of a free trade regime that, while promising an El Dorado of future market access, has actually delivered 30 years of ever-growing trade imbalances, plant closures, intractable unemployment, and mounting debt. One must either conclude that something fishy is going on with this relationship, or accept the premise that a centrally planned economy dominated by huge state-owned enterprises offers a superior economic model. And I have to tell you that what is fishy here turns out to be the short-term profits used to bait Western CEOs, which stands for Chief Executive Officers. It is being used as bait into outsourcing their production to a nation where the people and the environment can be pillaged at will, enriching a dictatorship at the long-term expense of our firms and our nation just happens to be the cost of increasing this year's bonus. That would be bad enough if our lost manufacturing capacity wasn't also supporting a military confrontation with China's peaceful neighbors and an unchecked nuclear arsenal pointed at America. Now, doesn't that scare the hell out of you? You know, and then we go to the movie Free China's, and it's a Jennifer Zeng. It's a story about Jennifer Zeng, who was not only jailed and beaten, but compelled by the brutal one-child policy to abort her child. When a woman is forcibly denied the right to reproduce, jailed for her religion, and tortured by fascist thugs, you would think the response of the American and Canadian governments would be something other than eagerness to hand over further assets, capital, technology, and jobs to her persecutors. When this tragedy is scaled up to 400 million coerced abortions, millions of political jailings, and the uncountable executions that feed a ghoulish organ harvesting business, we are left to wonder at the culpability of our leadership. If they are not completely devoid of conscience, just what sort of sleep aids, and this is so true. I mean, what kind of sleep aids do Harper and Obama employ after a day of kissing up to these people?
Good question. This whole
chapter really hit me because that's what they're doing. They're kissing up to people who are capable of doing what I have just mentioned. North American worker that surrenders their job and their dreams to unscrupulous Chinese trade abusers becomes a victim of the same system that silences, imprisons, and tortures Chinese citizens. If our government continues to enable this historic transfer of wealth and power to the greatest totalitarian regime in history, we will surely all become victims of the Chinese Communist Party. And 2 decades, do you remember Tiananmen Square?
Oh, yes, I remember Tiananmen Square.
That whole thing?
Yes.
Well, it has become undeniable that our engagement policy is an emperor with no clothes. And that was really well put.
Yeah. And then
Margaret Sullivan really describes it well.
And then that lady, Ms. Sullivan, did that wonderful The Emperor's New Clothes portrait of Stephen Harper.
Oh, yes, I saw that. Yes.
Yeah.
I forgot about that.
True.
Yes.
How true it is.
Now I know where it came from.
Yeah,
I wondered
exactly
how she got the idea.
What was that about, Dee?
It was a portrait of Stephen Harper lying naked on a chaise longue, being served Tim Hortons coffee and surrounded by minions. And the title of the painting was The Emperor's New Clothes.
Oh, yeah.
And there he is lying naked in all his plumpness and pinkness. Oh, Lord, it was funny. It was funny. I mean, everybody and their dog made jokes about that one. I'm sure he was absolutely furious. But you know what? We all see him that way now, I think. The problem that we've got is the man's got a ding-blasted majority.
Yes.
See, this is the thing. You know, I mean, I'm looking at these people who are saying, well, fight this bill and fight that bill, but you've got a totalitarian dictator at the helm, and he's got a majority. So fight what?
Exactly. And how did that happen? How can Canadians know what they know and put him back in?
Well, they've done it.
I mean,
They've done it now, and unfortunately, in this country, we don't have a two-term limit.
No.
You know, that's one thing where the Americans have it over us, on us, and they have impeachment regulations that would allow them to get rid of a guy. They've already tried to get rid of a couple in my lifetime. you know.
Oh, I know.
One being Reagan, who resigned, and then or Nixon, who resigned, and the other one being Clinton, who went through procedures, and I did not have sex with that woman. I mean, the whole thing is just, it's patently overt now. And you know, now you've got people resigning in strange places in strange ways. I don't know if you saw, but General Petraeus, who was appointed the head of the CIA, this is a guy who was in Iraq, and they brought him back and put him in charge of the CIA, and he just resigned because of an extramarital affair some years ago.
Oh,
I'm like, wait a minute, if a president can survive impeachment, you know, when it involves cigars and sexy, plump little assistants, right? And he can survive impeachment, why is this guy resigning from the CIA now? I mean, stuff is just starting to ooze from the corners. And this FIPA agreement is... You know, and what I fear, I'll tell you, Shelley, honestly, what I fear is I fear that this is almost like a lost leader.
Yes.
You know, because we
Unfortunately,
have...
because, you know, there's... You know, my source says there's still time, but you're talking about that we're terrified of a frightful Asian war... That is brewing.
They're not going to have a war because, you know, that destroys the resources that they want. I mean, that's just patently fear-mongering, and they're going to push that idea on us. Yes, you're right. But
You know that's what they're doing. They're trying to scare people.
They always scare you.
By making statements like that.
Yeah,
absolutely.
If you got
because
to go and talk to...
They would be left with nothing. I mean, if they use all their nuclear powers, you know,
well,
everything,
you know,
that
what
all the weaponry they have, there would be no natural resources left.
Well, you know what my point is? We've never had a problem doing business on a handshake. Honorable people do not have troubles dealing on a handshake. They do not have troubles dealing with contracts where everybody's informed and everybody is told the truth and everybody agrees these terms are good for us both. Thank you very much. Let's proceed. Handshake, deal done, you know, business done. But now
not the case anymore, Dee.
Not anymore.
That was in the good old days.
And this is what scares me. You know, you and I we're sitting here talking about FIPA. And it's a really, really important thing to talk about. And what's really worrisome to me is while we're sitting here talking about FIPA, CETA and the TPP are brewing in the background. And these two agreements basically bind us all the way from Europe to Australia, New Zealand, Malaysia, Indonesia, and all of the South Asian countries. So now, if you were to draw a line between the source and the signatories of each of the agreements that has been written between all these nations, it used to be a spider web, and now it's a cocoon.
Yeah.
And how they're doing it is it's not just one of the agreements, as much as we need to talk about FIPA, because we do, okay? But as much as it's about FIPA, it's about all of them. The cumulative effect is a world government.
Well, yes, because FIPA does not just—it's not just a deal that's going to be cut with Canada. I mean, they're cutting deals all over the world.
Exactly,
you know?
And you know what happens?
I mean, they've even gone to Africa for their diamond mines.
Exactly. Now, you were witness, and you've told this story amply and beautifully. You were witness to how they finagled numbers and facts and figures in these agreements to make them agreeable to everybody.
Exactly.
Okay. Now, what I'm thinking about is think of this massive cocoon of trade agreements around the world. Are you going to tell me now that none of them conflict? Okay. So what happens when they conflict?
Deleted for people not to see? What have they altered?
Exactly.
I mean,
we don't know. And when they conflict, though, when they conflict, that means there has to be a governing authority that has to take care of that. There's your world government platform. Boom, bang, bim. There it is, right in front of us. They're sewing us together through commerce. That's how they're doing it.
And that's what I kept saying, is that, you know, the free trade agreement was step number one towards that one world government.
Yeah, they should have said free for all.
Because it's tying us to these trade deals, it's tying us to all the other countries.
Exactly. They should have
said
free for all,
not
free trade. You know, it is a free-for-all. And essentially, it's like, okay, over here, get your minerals here, get your water here. That's Harper.
You know,
he's hawking our country to all these others, and it's all about corporate control. They're turning the entire place into one giant factory.
I wish Canadians would be less laid back and realize the danger that we're in, because if they don't face the facts that we're giving them today, our choice of action is clear, actually. We have to actively support a truly free China, or we're going to suffer a death by China.
Yeah, well, you know, I figure there's a lot of Chinese who would support us in that.
Yes, because many, many Chinese have moved. I mean, you go to Vancouver. Vancouver has become almost 90% Chinese. In Ottawa, we have a Chinatown. I mean, there's a Chinatown everywhere.
We have two.
So all these people would be in favor of being safe, having a safe Canada, and not be tied to. I mean, why did they leave China? They had to leave China because of the regime that they could not take.
Yeah, and
so they were able to free themselves and come here. But if we come under that same regime, it's not to their advantage. So the Chinese that are in Canada and that are in the U.S., I don't believe would want these agreements to come about no more than we do.
Exactly.
It
perpetuates what they ran from. It perpetuates what they ran from. It extends what they ran from. Why would they support bringing it here when they ran from it?
Well, I'm going to tell you something very—it's strange but interesting and fascinating. I have just recently moved in September to a new area of Ottawa. Just 2 days ago, a Chinese woman showed up at my door, and she had a remote in her hand. And her complaint was that ever since I had moved into the house next door to her, that her TV, she had lost control of her TV completely. They're sitting down, her and her family, they're sitting down watching a program, and it keeps changing channels without them touching anything. Or it won't let the remote operate. And they believed that it's been happening only since I moved in next door. So
well,
what do you make of that?
Intriguing.
Isn't that intriguing?
Yeah.
I mean,
one wonders if they're going to raid the wrong house.
that's what Margaret said. Margaret said, "My God," she says, they must have been doing some wiring, you know, and to connect to you to know what you're up to, and they got the wrong house." I mean, but it goes to show you the technology that's out there.
Oh, yeah.
I mean, the technology is out there. And, you know,
well,
we were talking about how much...
We need to get you some metal-based paint. Yeah, you turn your house, if you paint your walls with a metal-based paint, it can keep the EMF waves out of your house.
Oh, really?
It's a Faraday cage.
Oh, that's interesting. I guess I'll have to do that, Dee.
Yeah, well, anywhere where you have, you know, especially where you sleep, I mean, this is a really good idea for people. It's a very inexpensive way of cutting down on the EMF damage that we're all suffering right now.
Oh, my God. You're going to have to tell me more about that in an email
or something so that I can go buy the right paint. I really don't know much more except that I do know that if you encase something, they tell you that your credit card can't be read if it's wrapped in tinfoil by chip readers. Okay, that's the same kind of EMF that we're talking about. And they tell you that, yes, you know, the people who talk about tinfoil hats aren't entirely crazy. Because encasing your smart meter with tinfoil or with a turkey roaster pan, as some people did in fact change the level of EMF. But the thing is that
you're giving me good ideas here.
Yeah, there are paints you can buy. There are even fabrics you can wear that are interlaced with tiny fibers of metal. And what that does is it prevents that electricity. It's like the old Faraday cage. You can sit inside a Faraday cage, and you can pass thousands and thousands of volts of electricity through it and not get shocked at all.
Oh, my gosh. That
because
is very interesting.
Stops. Yeah. So, you know, people need to think about these things. The more these smart meters there are, the more you're being observed. Everything's being observed. Now, you can't stop all of it, but the thing is it's having a deleterious effect on your health. So because it's having that effect, at least see if you can, you know, find yourself some metal-based paint your bedroom, for heaven's sakes, at least. You know, paint a metal-based paint,
and I should paint my bedroom in it.
Metal-based, yeah. I gather they come in colors, but the thing is it's got metal flecks in them. And the metal flex act like a wire cage.
I'm taking note of this right now because I tell you should have seen this woman was walking around my house with her remote in her hand.
Uh-huh.
So by the time she left, I was really wondering who she really was.
Oh, yeah.
Because she kept walking around the house with what looked to be like a remote. But it wasn't doing anything.
Well, of course,
it didn't appear to be doing anything.
But I think she was looking for it to see if it would work on any of your stuff. Because if it would...
Yeah, and it didn't.
No, of course not. Of course not. It wouldn't. But, you know, somebody's zapping some EMF around your place, and it could be that your house actually is the one surrounded with EMF. So what are they doing? What are they trying?
What are they trying here? It makes life very interesting, let me tell you.
Well, you see,
but I wanted to go back while it's still my turn
it's your turn right through.
What Harper is doing, because I had I have a source here from the Parliamentary Bureau that was stating that it's insane to sell Canadian resources to the Chinese. And what is going on, apart from FIPA, which is that Foreign Investment Protection Agreement, China's CNOOC, which is an oil company in China, is trying to buy Calgary's Nexen oil and gas producer.
Uh-huh.
And so we're wondering why they're going after, you know, after Calgary, I mean, Calgary, that's where we get our gas and our oil. And if we start selling out of all of our products, I mean, we're going to be in trouble. So this Parliamentary Bureau person was saying that it was insane, because if the government truly believes it can trust China to be a reciprocal player in business dealings, then the government doesn't know China. I mean, really, they don't know China.
Well,
and I don't believe that they don't know China.
I don't believe they don't
know
China.
How can they not know China?
How can they not when everybody and their dog knows China? I mean,
exactly.
If you ask any random, uneducated, sleeping, soundly snoring Canadian What's with China? Oh, they're like one of them totalitarian types, aren't they? Dictators over there, no human rights, that kind of thing. See, they've pumped us full of that.
Oh, I mean, it's really bad. You see,
full of that
because they. How can Canada expect a fair deal? You really can't expect to get a fair deal from a country.
Well, here's my
that
point.
Has
it must
cheated
be fair
on almost every other government they've ever signed
exactly
a deal with since the so-called People's Republic was founded.
Well, so why sign a deal like that? It must be fair to somebody, and it ain't us. So who's it fair
to? And it's not us.
Well,
you know, and according to the Parliamentary Bureau source, Thursday's question period, you know how they have a question period in the House of Commons?
Oh, yes, that little dance, that dog and pony show.
That little dance, yes. Well, on Thursday's question period, the House of Commons opened up with the opposition leader, the NDP leader, Thomas Mulcair, his assertion that under the Canada-China agreement, Canada could be sued by China for any effort to limit its ownership.
Uh-huh.
I mean, so it goes back to what I said in the beginning. If the government refused to sell them anything, they can sue them.
They can sue us, yeah.
They can sue the Canadian government. Our native people could lose their lands, so they should definitely, Jen should be really involved in this. Because it affects the treaty that's now being negotiated.
Yes, exactly.
I mean, the government is trying to negotiate a new treaty with the indigenous people.
Yes, we have.
And yet they're doing this.
We have to get Keto on the show at some point soon. We need her right now.
Absolutely.
We need her right now. And her book, by the way, A Calamity Threatens Your Happiness. Oh, my Lord.
Oh, my gosh, I've got to read that.
Oh, it is something else.
Is it out in the bookstore, Z?
No, she only gives it out as a gift or an exchange, gifting or donation.
So
and,
maybe I should send you a copy of my book and you can exchange it for her?
Oh, no, I'll give you her address. You can send her a copy of yours and she'll send you a copy of hers.
Okay, you do that. You just send me an email on it.
Yeah, no problem.
This is...
You know, the thing is that all of these things are tying together now. These plans are far more complex, and that they could not have originated in Canada. They could not have, okay? Because it's too big, it's too international. It involves too many countries all at once. And here's our government, which has no mandate, nor does any democratic government anywhere in the world, has no mandate to give away the sovereignty of the nation, yet they're doing it right under our very noses. And the one thing they will not allow you to talk about, is the cumulative effect of these trade groups. They will not let you talk about the global world, one world government that they are buying into on our behalf because we elected them.
Well, exactly. We didn't know that part of their plan, world government.
Informed consent, Christopher, that's exactly right. It's called informed consent. There's no contract between us and our government. They lied
no.
to us.
Exactly, yeah.
They lied,
well, that's
and
very,
I'm not
that is very
out,
well put.
Well, I'm not just talking about Harper either. I'm not
no.
just talking about the conservatives. They have all lied to us. And you want to point in fact here, this is Jack Layton, the esteemed Jack Layton, who was my member of parliament and who I knew personally from the time he was a city councillor. We were on a first-name basis, and I liked him as a person. You know, he was funny. I used to snap his suspenders all the time. And I told him, I said, Jack, I said, your suspenders used to mark you as a man of the people, and now they just hold up your pants.
Good, Dee.
And
because in the end, that's what's quite true in the end.
Well, see, here's the thing. Bill C-36, the Canada Consumer Product Protection Act, or
yes.
Consumer Safety Product Act or something, whatever.
Yes.
CPSA, Product Safety Act. Anyways, that That was around for a long time. It started out as C-51, C-52, then it moved to become C-6, and then it was C-36. It had a very long lifespan in the house.
Yes, it did.
And by the time we got, and it also caused a prorogation of the house, if you'll recall. Okay, Harper prorogued Parliament when he was getting major pressure on C-36. Well, the one issue we could not get MPs to respond to was the fact that hidden in the clauses of C-36 was a little item that said the minister may take direction from foreign authorities, but didn't name any foreign authorities.
Oh,
now,
my.
So you look up under their dictionary, their parliamentary dictionary, what do they mean by foreign authorities? And it says official organizations such as other governments, trade groups such as the World Trade Organization, etc. So bingo bango, it says, it's saying right in C-36, insofar as any Canadian consumer product is concerned, the health minister may take direction from foreign authorities and does not define them. And we screamed about the fact that that gave away our sovereignty over our product safety laws. And nobody would listen, including Jack Layton. And when C-36 finally passed, his talking point and all his party talking point, or party members gave the same talking point, and so did the other parties. They all said the same thing. It is nice to be on a level playing field with our trade partners.
And I how went, true. That's what? Exactly what he was saying, because I was following him and backing up his party right up till, I started noticing that something was wrong halfway through, but I had already given my support on my blog for NDP.
I know, I remember that.
Do you remember that?
Yes, I do. And, you know, I mean, I'm looking at it as...
And then a whole bunch of people started sending me emails and cluing me in about, you know, what their experience had been with Jack.
Yeah,
and
exactly.
Boy,
Jack changed.
I wish I could have taken that stuff off my blog.
Well, see, here's the thing. Jack changed. And I find it really funny.
At what point did he change?
Well, it was once he got to Parliament, he was in there and he was his ravaging little self, snapping his suspenders at everybody for a little while. And then all of a sudden, you know, he started to act more like an MP. In other words, just sitting there like another talking head or a bobblehead doll sitting in the background.
And
you know,
it seemed to me that once he won the official opposition, it went to his head.
I don't know if it even went to his head or whether he was just having to fake it, because I noticed at the same time as that was going on, he was getting sick. And to my mind, you know, how he got sick and when he got sick just coincides with when some rug was pulled out from under him. That's what I feel. Some rug was pulled out from under him. And I would think that for at least even a semi-honest person to go to the Hill as an MP and find out that you have no power might be just such a rug, especially when you're, you know, a little warrior with suspenders.
Right. Well, you know, we're talking about the NDP, and I'd like to go back to that subject of what Mulcair said in the House of Commons during that question period.
Yeah, by all
that
means.
Under the Canada-China agreement, Canada could be sued by China for any effort to limit ownership. What I want to bring up is the answer that was given by our Prime Minister, Stephen Harper. Stephen Harper apparently called those claims, quote, and I quote here, completely and utterly wrong, saying the deal gives Canadians allowed to make investments in China a framework, the rule of law that would protect them. So isn't that laughable?
Uh-huh. Well, where is it?
I mean, that was Harper's answer.
Uh-huh.
When that Mulcair brought up the agreement would do to us, that it would limit its ownership.
Uh-huh. And you see, what's really scary here too is while all of this is going on in public now, Okay. What's going on behind the curtain with TPP and CETA? Because
that's
things...
That's why they're taking our attention away.
Uh-huh. It's a lost leader. He doesn't care. You see, this is my figuring, okay? I may not be the brightest bulb in the box on some things, but I'm predicting anyway. Here's the thing. I'm looking at it as the China deal, the Chinese are always going to want to make it. Okay? They're always going to want to make that deal because we're always going to have those resources. So they're always going to want to make it. So it doesn't really matter if we delay. But we're low man on the totem pole when it comes to the EU, and we're low man on the totem pole when it comes to the TPP because the U.S. is involved there. And in the EU, there's 27 nations and then us. You know?
Well, I tell you, it's very interesting that, when Canadian and American companies go into China, they're apparently abused. They're forced into joint partnerships, usually with state-owned companies.
Yeah, well...
And their intellectual property is stolen.
Yep.
And they're often chased out of the country with all their capital left behind.
Uh-huh. And
so what do you think
of
that?
Intellectual properties, get a load of this. On the Trans-Pacific Partnership, which is the TPP, okay, Canada was kept out of the negotiations on that and was allowed only observer status because of two things. And this was a U.S. veto. A U.S. veto on allowing us, they all had to agree, had to be unanimous to let us into the club. Harper wanted into the club. Obama said, no, we want these two things changed. Okay, one was some regulations in agriculture, particularly within, we figure, the dairy industry. We don't know what's going on there because that would be interesting. But on the other hand, the other side of it was intellectual property rights. And don't you know, after that came out, a couple of weeks later, I'm hearing the Supreme Court has just altered intellectual property rights. And then, on the heels of that, all of a sudden, Canada has negotiator status at the TPP.
For heaven's sake.
I mean, come on, connect those dots. It couldn't be plainer. It could not be plainer. Harper folded on intellectual property rights at the behest of the United States so that we would be let into the TPP because he wanted it, and he never told Canadians about a bit of it.
Oh, my God.
So he sold us down the river so that he could have his little glory day with Barack Obama.
You know that there is so much going on that's corrupt, Dee, that you and I could be kept busy 24/7 just following up on all of these things
and
talking to Canadians. I mean, we could have a full-time job.
I know. Well, it'd be nice if somebody would pay us for it, huh?
Oh, wouldn't it?
That'd be nice.
That'd be nice. They're lucky that there are people like you and I, and there are others that care enough about this country and the value system that we have here and our heritage that we are willing to give of our time to do and inform Canadians.
You know, Shelly-Ann, I have to also say it's a matter of self-preservation, too, because I kind of like the country I grew up in. And it isn't that anymore. And the other thing that I can say is I can look in the mirror, and, you know, this is, I say this to anybody anywhere who's got any situation with their government that is taking away the rights that they were born to and the land and privileges of being a citizen of their country that they expect and are taught to expect all the way growing up and then are taught to be patriotic to. Okay, my statement to you is, guess what? When your grandchild asked you, what did you do to protect me, Grandpa and Grandma, what are you going to say to them? At least I can say, and you can say, Shelly-Ann, and Christopher can say, and those people who are out there blowing the whistle with until they're blue in the face, Okay, these people can say, I fought for you. It was too big for me, but I fought for you.
How
At
true.
At least I
How
can
true.
Say that.
We'll be able to look them in the eye and know
yes.
that we did what we could.
Yeah,
you know,
we did.
And
well,
if,
where's the rest of you? Come on, we outnumber them, people. Challenge
You know,
for the
I
truth.
Put together a blurb when this whole thing on FIPA came out. I put together a blurb which I sent to a lot of people, and that's the very point that I was making. Whether you, if you have children, if you have grandchildren, think of their future, what it's going to be like if we were under another regime.
Yeah,
I mean, we're already partially there, but if China took control of Canada and the U.S. and other countries, can you imagine what that means for our grandkids and our children?
It's terrifying. You know, people,
I mean,
your kids are going
to hate
you.
I'm terrified for my grandchildren and my two sons.
Yeah, exactly. I mean, I have a four-year-old grandson. He just turned four days ago. And, you know, this kid is going to grow up in the world that we have left them. And we've left them that. There's no mistaking it, because we had information. You know, back in the frontier days when it was easy to manipulate information because you just didn't tell the stories you didn't want heard. And people did not have all the technology that they've got today. Now they manipulate our information. They spin
it. The information is manipulated. Plus, what is a big disappointment is how many people that I have had send me an email saying, oh, thank you for being so brave and, you know, thank you for this and thank you for that. But when I write back to them and ask them, well, would you, you know, start a petition in your writing and send this letter, you know, to the MPs on Parliament Hill.
You know what?
Oh,
there they send
that,
individual
you know, the
emails.
Answer I get back is, oh, my goodness, I don't write letters to anybody, and I certainly don't put my name to them.
Oh, well, then, live with what's coming and accept the blame from your children and grandchildren and great-grandchildren that you gave away
and
their
we're
freedom.
All
or maybe they won't know what freedom
people.
Is by then. Maybe they
I mean,
won't know.
I wrote to the minister of Natural Resources, our federal minister of Natural Resources, who, of course, because he's a minister, a cabinet minister, he's a conservative. Joe Oliver is his name. And I sent him a blurb, and I said, if you care about your children and your grandchildren, if you have any, you're going to do something to stop this. You know, I mean, and I wasn't afraid to sign my name.
Well, why should
I mean, my name is
afraid?
All over the place in Parliament.
Well,
because
yeah,
I wrote
I
to
mean,
MPs and I wrote to the minister. And why are people so afraid? I'm still sitting here alive and well. So I don't know what they're afraid of.
I don't know what they're afraid of either.
Especially if they're retired or and, you know, if they don't have a government job.
Well, you
I
know
mean,
what? You know what I say? At least if you're going to go down, if this country's going to go down, you know, if you fight the injustice of it all, because that's what it is. This is pure evil injustice against every single
evil.
One of us. And if you at least go down in flames, you know, somehow, go down in flames somehow, whether you're sitting in a rocking chair with a computer in front of you or whether you're blogging or whether you're talking to your neighbors or whatever, at least if you share the truth with everybody you know.
Well, this is what I'm trying to do, and that's why I'm so glad that you and Dr. Holmes have got this BBS Zero Point radio show that allows someone like me to come on and tell the truth and pass on the information that people are not, you know, a lot of people, they not even bother to read a newspaper. And even if they did, I discovered that, you know, what is written up in an Ottawa newspaper, does not necessarily reach pippers in other cities in this country.
No,
because I know people in almost every city in this country, and I've asked them, did you get this news? Did you get that news? And they had nothing that even came close to the news that we had here in our newspaper.
Exactly. And
so I have to, you know, by email and through your show, I have to address Canadians and try to shake them up, wake them up, and say something has to be done. I mean, now I want to make an appeal to all individuals in Canada and appeal the Indigenous people, because it will interfere with their treaty if this FIPPA agreement goes through. It will interfere because if... I'm sure that the Indigenous have land that has natural resources that China would be interested in, and if they tell the government, we want that piece of land, even if the government put it in the treaty that it belongs to the Indigenous people, they're going to get away with it, and they will sell it to the Chinese.
And check this out.
I'd like the Indigenous people to get together and to react to this, to start writing letters or even gather on Parliament Hill. I mean, there is an organization called leadnow.ca, and I've been receiving information from them also and appeals, and they're the ones, Dee, that this organization was able to appeal to Canadians for donations to do radio broadcasts about FIPPA, and they were able to collect over $60,000 so that every major city in this country did a broadcast about FIPPA and warned people about it. That's how serious it is.
You know, it's very serious. It's very serious.
So if people look up leadnow.ca on their computer, you know, they could be in touch with these people and get organized to do something about it. Because,
if
we don't do something now, December 10 is going to be upon us. Harper's going to sign and we've had it.
Yeah, we don't need to give that kind of Christmas present to China.
Well, no.
We
and
don't
I
need
certainly,
to do that.
You know, what a Christmas it will be if that is signed on the 10th.
Well, if it's signed on the 10th, it's a Christmas present for China and a lump of coal for Canada.
Oh, yeah. And that's why, you know, I appeal to all the individuals who care for the preservation of our culture.
Well, you know what? I want to make another appeal, okay?
Yes, please.
Let's make a list of those to whom we are appealing. Okay, let's start with the Indigenous people. If you don't pay attention to FIPPA, you could be moved off your reserves and be stuck wherever they put you. Is that what you want?
Oh, how that
treaties,
is so dead on, Dee.
Yeah, and those
because
treaties,
that's exactly.
Well, that's bottom
the
line.
The other thing that could happen to them. Yes.
You know, I like to call a spade, and I'm not as polite as you are. Okay.
Well, I think you're very polite.
Is, you let
polite
this puppy
and honest.
Go by. If they let this puppy go by, they're going to be shoveled out of their reserves because they're sitting on mines. You look at Attawapiskat. Now, isn't
yes.
it funny that all of a sudden they've had all kinds of flooding up there? Okay, and who's up there? De Beers Mining. Okay, De Beers has mines up there.
Oh, my God.
Okay.
Yes, you're right. I'd forgotten about De Beers
okay.
being up
and
there.
And then there's the water plans that that Quito exposes in her book, showing all of the dams they plan to build on the watershed and the aquifer that comes out of James Bay. They are going to stop the seawater. And they're going to wall it off, and they're going
so
to
so they're still continuing with James Bay. That's what you're telling me.
Yeah, the James Bay Water Project, and she shows Attawapiskat is there's a dam to be built there. it's going to be flooded anyway. Okay, but the bottom line is they're sitting on diamonds, and they're not going to do any of that till they take the diamonds out. And what if China comes in and says, we want that land? And then they get to deal with De Beers on whether they can mine there.
Well, of course. And
so,
that's why they need that agreement, because if the government says no, the government would get sued. So the government would have to say yes.
Yeah, exactly. So here we are in a situation where literally everybody's apple cart. Now let's go on with our little list here of appeals. I want to appeal to every journalist in the country, and people, they're not listening to this show because they just can't stand it.
Oh.
Okay, they can't stand it. It either breaks their heart or it's completely ignorable as far as they're concerned. Okay, but the bottom line is you are their readers. You are their viewers. You are their listeners. Start demanding that they cover these things. Start asking them, why aren't you? Why aren't you interested in something that affects all of us so deeply? Why aren't you doing it? Call them on their
conscience. Call them on
their honor. Shame them out of the woodwork. Because they're being told what to write, and that's not what journalism is. Journalism is supposed to be an unbiased and objective reporting of the truth. That is the underpinning of the Fourth Estate. Where the hell are they?
That's what I want to know.
And it's time we, the people, ask them. Call them out.
Exactly.
Call them
out.
But
if you remember in my book, The Sale of the Country, I give a quote by a former journalist in New York that was being toasted, Swinton.
Uh-huh.
And that's in my book, the Swinton quote. And it deals exactly with what you're saying right now.
And then you got
If you dare tell the truth, you're walking the streets the next day with no job.
Yep.
Yeah, exactly.
This is it.
Yeah.
This is it. And remember the Rockefeller quote at the New York Press Club I don't know how many years ago it was, but people can Google it to find out that it's true. He thanked the press and said, we could not have done what we have done without your help.
Yes.
Okay,
and it seems all the corporate media is owned by these people.
Uh-huh. Then we have the quote from President George H.W. Bush I, who said, if the people knew what we have done, they'd be chasing us through the streets to lynch us.
Yeah.
Okay,
oh,
and then we have his son W. saying, Constitution, nothing but a goddamn piece of paper.
Yeah.
End
quote.
I mean,
we don't have our Constitution. They might as well burn it because we don't have a constitution anymore.
Well, here's the thing, Shelley. This is the thing people don't get. International contracts, i.e. trade agreements, they supersede our national law, right?
Yes, and
well,
the constitution does not count.
Yeah, but our constitution is also a domestic law. That means our constitution is now null and void.
That's right. Our Constitution is now null and void, and that's what I've been trying to say.
Yeah, exactly.
To people,
but that's what they don't want to say.
It's laughable if it wasn't such a tragedy.
I am not allowed to say that on the CBC forum. How about that?
CBC is owned by the Crown.
Of course. Well, the CBC claims to be a fair and open forum, and it gives you all kinds of guidelines about, you know, you can't swear at people and you can't make ad hominem attacks and you can't talk in capitalists and you can't this and that and everything else. Okay?
Oh, you made me remember something that I was supposed to tell you and forgot about CBC.
Okay.
Is that Margaret saw a forum that was, there was a debate on the Canada-U.S. Free Trade Agreement just a couple of weeks ago with Peter Mansbridge.
Uh-oh.
And Margaret sent Peter Mansbridge my book. And she said, why don't you bring her into your forum? She was there. She could tell you things that you don't know. Read her book. And she sent him a copy of my book. Margaret never heard back.
Of course not. Of course not. These guys, they're all in government. They're all going to government now. Look at all the media people and celebrities who are going into government now.
Isn't it Peter Manzberg?
They're made senators.
Yeah.
If you want to be a senator, and in the States, if you want to become the president, you can be an actor.
Well, we had two governors general.
Well, what is it called? Because in the States, it's all...
Look at our governors general.
The state of Maine and the state of New York and,
Clint Eastwood.
How many actors do we have that are heads of states?
Clint Eastwood, Fred G. Thompson, Ronald Reagan, and now we've got
that
a little
famous
celebrity
guy
called
there,
Justin
oh
Trudeau.
My gosh, what's his name?
Oh,
he's Australian.
He's
Austrian.
And they're now touting Ben Mulroney, for God's sake.
Oh, yes, Schwarzenegger.
Mulroney. I'm going, excuse me, Ben Mulroney?
Look at the nice job he's got on E-Talk.
Yeah, exactly.
I mean, if it wasn't for his daddy, do you think he'd be there?
I don't think so. Exactly.
Not only that,
he comes up to about my nose, poor kid. Anyway, but yeah, I mean, it's totally overwhelming. But the bottom line is that really, it's not. If you take it just bit by bit, understand it bit by bit. What you see is there's a definite pattern, and once you understand that the pattern of takeover and the pattern of how they present things and do things is always the same. And the reason why it's the same is because they always repeat, and when I say they, I mean the elite, the ones who are orchestrating all this stuff, whatever they want to call themselves. But at any rate, these people like patterns that work, and they repeat them. And so once you understand exactly what kind of propaganda techniques, what kind of shill patterns that they use on people to make them think everything's okay, go back to sleep now, you spot that pattern anywhere, it stands out like a sore thumb.
Well, yes.
And I'm seeing it everywhere.
It's frustrating that despite, everything that we do, you and I, and others like the lead now, well, they got out that broadcast to stop Harper. But will it stop him? Probably not.
Well, it's not going to stop him in his eyes. I mean, the man has a majority, right?
Yes, a majority.
He doesn't have
He'll get away with it.
Well, he thinks he will, but you see, here's the bottom line, and this is the ultimate potentiality of this situation, is that Canadians, if they were all aware of what's going on, all stood up at once, he'd be powerless. Because the government rules only with consent of the governed.
Well, absolutely, and that's why I say, why do people keep putting him back in?
Exactly.
What is wrong with the majority of Canadians?
I did not know
that the majority of Canadians are wealthy people. I mean, we have quite a number of wealthy people that are probably wealthy thanks to Harper, but... I mean, the majority of Canadians are middle class, and
not for much
if
longer.
They all did not vote,
well, I tell you,
for one of these parties, where would they be?
Exactly. And the thing
I don't think that Mulcair, for example, he puts on a good show in question period. But really, if he was in charge, would he be any better?
Of course not.
Or would he be cutting the same deal?
Because controls aren't coming from here.
Well, exactly. But
so, I mean,
if nobody voted, what would happen? I mean, what do they do in a case where you have to vote to have a prime minister and an elected government?
If
nobody showed up at the voting polls, I always wondered about that. Is what do they do? Is there a ruling somewhere that governs that?
No, actually,
if nobody
isn't.
Voted.
There is. I don't think there is. I think they would count the existing votes and declare
yes.
a winner.
Yeah.
If three people in the country
that's a good one. Count the existing votes. Of course, they're capable of doing that, and we'd never know.
Exactly. And
unless we went to every polling station, and if the media, the journalists were honest and reported back that nobody showed up at any of the polls,
you know
what? What do you do then?
Yeah, well, Shelley, here's the problem with that is our Canadian government employs so many ding-blasted people anyway that if all the government workers were ordered to vote on pain of losing their jobs, it would look like a normal election where 30% of the population showed up.
Yes, and I'm sure some of the 30% is, listen to this one. I was forgetting it, but I just remembered that about 2 weeks ago, I read in the newspaper, and it was a complaint, actually, against the government. They hire people with disabilities, but the people that I've worked with that had disabilities, they at least gave them a job that they could do. Like one woman was deaf, so they had a special gadget attached to her computer for her to do her job. And people in wheelchairs, you know, have ramps and assistance to do, but they could do their job and they would do a good job. Mm-hmm. But in this instance, it made the front page of our Ottawa newspaper because the government was putting out over $1 million to assist one employee who was disabled, and they needed to provide him with assistance. And when you read on, you discover that the disability of the employee was that he had to write letters, but he did not know how to write, and he had a disability that he could not spell. So they hired people to write the letters for him. And they were spending over $1 million on hiring people to do his job.
Yeah, I can. You know what? That reminds me of a lip grant that I recall back in the early 70s. They had this thing that called local initiative projects. They were called lip grants. And one of them was a $250,000 grant to study the relative virtues of portalettes.
What was that?
Portable toilet.
I mean,
$250,000 grant.
It boggles the mind. Do you think that you or I could get a job if we were not able to pass the exam and do the job?
Well, let me put it this way. If we couldn't, we could get a grant, which is, you know, whoever proposes the most stupidity seems to get a grant these days.
I think the corporate media likes to promote activities like that because they can degrade the government by it.
Yes, that's a good point.
Yeah, because it allows the people, you know how terrible our government is, and then I think it's Zionists behind this all, behind it all of our papers and radio stations and TV stations, all of it. Slash bankers, for sure, yes, and the royalty and such.
I mean, yes. I wonder, I would like to use a different name and give myself a disability and apply for a job and see what would happen. Then we could have a whole show on it.
Well, you know, it's interesting that there's been a lot of commentary over the last few days about the outcome of this election. And a lot of the bloggers and pundits down there are saying that the reason why Obama won, and of course, you know, I don't attribute any of that to
why
voters.
Why did he win after all that we found out about him? That he couldn't even produce a birth certificate.
Now he's dealing with Benghazi Gate and get into that in a second. But here's the thing. They're saying that, you know, the man won because Americans like the kind of welfare state that the Democrats like to produce. And they have a sense of entitlement. So here's Obama offering them this, that, the other thing. And, of course, with Obama, it's give with one hand, take with the other. And, you know, what he's offering in terms of health care is a disaster on the hoof. And,
yes.
and all this other stuff is disaster on the hoof. And they've seen him literally take the country into the tank in the last 4 years, and still he gets elected. Well,
I don't get that.
I don't believe that the
count was not corrupted.
No, I don't get it either. I mean, it's just, I smell rotting fish all over the place. America doesn't smell too good these days. And a lot of Americans don't realize that.
Do you remember the fuss that they made over the fact that he could not produce his birth certificate?
Oh, yeah.
That he was not even born in the States?
Oh, yeah. He spent $2 million to obfuscate that little issue.
You're kidding.
$2 million. And this Elena Kagan, who was appointed to the Supreme Court, she was the lawyer who represented his side of the birth certificate battle, and she winds up getting appointed to the Supreme Court for that little sacrifice.
Wow.
Oh, my God.
Oh, yeah. Oh, yeah.
It's so corrupt.
You know, they wonder how Obama and Harper sleep at night. Now I'm asking myself, how am I going to sleep tonight?
Yeah, exactly.
I mean, you know, when you know what you know and you feel so helpless.
Yeah,
I mean, I should maybe contact them and find out what kind of pill they're on.
Yeah.
Because obviously they're able to sleep at night.
Yeah, well, they must be taking a heavy dose of que sera, sera.
Yes, because what do you do?
Well, inform. The difference between their stuff winning and the truth winning is telling the truth. That's it. The truth can't be defeated by anything because it's the only thing that's real. So you
too
start telling
people,
the truth.
Too many people live in fear.
Well, this is
I mean, I've had people that once they read my book, I lost so many friends, you have no idea. Or people I thought were friends.
Uh-huh.
And after they read the book, they disappeared from my life so fast.
Because they're afraid.
It was like poof, like magic.
Yeah.
Yeah.
And it's fear that does it. It's fear that does it.
Yeah.
It is. It's fear. I mean, come on.
I mean, they're not the ones that wrote the book. They were terrified that they had even read it.
Yeah.
They probably burnt it. You know, which is ridiculous.
Yeah.
People are still allowed. We're lucky that we're still allowed to read books.
Yeah.
I mean,
well,
they're not coming into our house and finding out what books we own and burning them or something.
Well,
I mean, that's the next step, I guess.
Well, don't forget, there are certain books that are banned, and there are certain books that are, and when you have a Bilderberger like Heather Reisman running chapters in Indigo across the country, and ultimately capable of making sure that no particular book is sold, and also capable of dangling red herrings and limited hangouts by putting in certain books that are just a little edgy.
So you're
right?
Telling me that Indigo and Chapters is run by a Reisman?
Heather Reisman, yeah.
Heather Reisman.
Yeah.
Isn't that interesting? I'm wondering if she was related to Simon Reisman, who headed up the free trade.
Yeah, well, I have no doubt they're related. Their names spelled the same. But she's a Bilderberg, and she goes to every Bilderberg meeting.
And she goes to every Bilderberg meeting?
Yeah, every one of them. She's a perennial there.
Isn't that interesting?
And she controls the so-called free
And she controls what goes into Indigo and Chapters.
Yeah, she can, okay? That doesn't mean that she's going to always exercise that, but I'm sure it's like everything else. I don't know.
But she has the power to do so.
Well, I don't know that people understand how these things are manipulated, but unless you know, like if you happen to be on the inside in, say, for example, the radio community, okay, you wonder how come all these multifarious radio stations around the North America happened to play the same songs over and over again, mm-hmm. and that the songs that make it to the top of the charts are top of the charts just about everywhere, and how that happens, how they get their playlists. Well, there's a company behind that called Joint Communications, and Joint Communications is a consulting firm, and that consulting firm basically takes a look at all the music that is being submitted for playlisting, and they decide what playlists are going to be.
Wow.
Okay, they decide. So if you think that's not going on in other segments of the economy, this is how books are decided, this is how everything is decided. It's all decided.
You know, I think I'm going to walk into Indigo and Chapters and see if they'll take my book.
Yeah.
I'll report back.
Yeah, good.
I'll let you know the reaction
that
I get.
That ought to be real interesting. Because
that, it ought to be interesting because Margaret and I look like two very innocent ladies.
Oh,
we'll have to walk in because I always use her
Victorian.
As a witness.
for our
because
listeners.
You can't do anything these days. I can't do anything these days without having a witness, you know.
Oh, I know. And you know what? For our listeners' edification, Shelley-Ann Clark is practically Victorian, okay? This how she dresses is so prim and proper. She looks like she was raised on Embassy Row. She was raised with nannies and maids and the whole nine. Her manners are impeccable. Her appearance is impeccable. And she's made out to be an enemy of the country.
Yeah.
You see, you cannot judge a book by its cover, Dee.
Yeah, well, I mean, with you, it's just kind of obvious that what's on the cover, you're straight up about it. You know,
yes,
there
and,
are
that,
some
and that's
covers.
A point, you know, that I want to make to the listeners is that, you know, when I write something, it's because I have the documentation to back it up.
Exactly.
I just don't invent things. I always have the documentation to back it up. Like my book number two, I'm going to be starting on it right after Christmas. And I have every document to back up everything that's going to be in that book.
Yeah, and I'm looking at the
and
front.
It's going to be a 600-pager, D.
Yeah, now,
so
let's,
be prepared
let's
for
talk
some
about
reading.
The cover. Let's talk about the cover of this book, okay, and talking about judging books by its cover.
Yes.
On the front cover of your book, you have a graphic of Canada with an explosion happening in Ottawa, and it says, Bulroney Real Estate Agents for sale with a big sold sign across the map of Canada. Then your title of the book is The Sale of a Country, Behind the Scenes at the Canada-U.S. Free Trade Negotiations Office. Volume 1, she says. Okay, now that cover tells you what's in the book. That cover's
yes.
telling the truth. We're not all as honest as you, and we're not all as brave as you. But when you put something on a cover, you back it up. Every page backs it up. I got this book right in my hand right now, and every page is backed up.
Oh, good for you, Dee.
Yeah.
I am so proud of you, my dear.
Oh, and,
you have
and
no
I
idea.
Thank you, and I of you.
It's an honor for me that we have connected and that I'm able to go on air with you and have honest discussions so that hopefully we can reach sufficient Canadians/individuals, because I want to include my Indigenous friends amongst this, so that they get to know and that they know that when we tell them something, they can count on it as being the truth.
Yeah, these white people do not speak with forked tongues because there's never a point in doing that.
I wondered if we need to try to come back to the agreements and just reiterate what you want to say about December 10th, because I know in the last half of the hour we did want to talk a little bit about Proposition 37 and other things happening in the States. So I wonder if maybe, Dee, Shelley-Ann, we could just come back to that and yeah.
Yeah, and let me just, as we do that, let me also point out that when we talk about Proposition 37, we're talking about something happening in a state that happens to be part of a nation that is bound to us by the very free trade agreement that Shelley is talking about in the book, and others since then, including NAFTA. And now we're tying in, we've got a real triumvirate here, okay? We've got the resource source, which is Canada. We've got the labor force, which is China. We got the land source, which is the United States, as well as Canada. And you got agreements binding all three countries together one way or another. Do you really think that Proposition 37 doesn't speak for all of us? Because it does, because of deals like the one we are discussing right this minute.
Yes, and December 10, everyone must remember that December 10 has been slotted by the House of Commons in Ottawa for Prime Minister Harper to make the decision on whether or not to go ahead with any agreement with China. Because right now he's been touring Asia, as you know. And since he's touring Asia, he's making promises all over the place.
Yeah, he has about 14 more
trade agreements. I cannot swear to it because I'm not with him, but he would not be touring Asia for touring purposes.
No, of course
not. He's not a tourist.
No, he's not a tourist, and he's not seeing the sights.
No, so
not seeing the sights. That's what photo ops are for.
On this, if people do not take action by December 10, this agreement with China will go through, and then wait till you see we'll have nothing left of this country.
Yeah, absolutely. And in the meantime, behind the scenes, let's not forget about CETA and the TPP, which bind us even further, lock things into place, and then you watch the wheels turn and grind on our middle class. We won't have one.
And what do you see, Shelley-Ann, is what we need to do before December the 10th? What do you want people to do, to write their MPs? Or?
Yes, I want them to write to the opposition MPs, mm-hmm. and I want them to write to the minister, to the federal cabinet minister, joe.oliver@parl.gc.ca, and oppose and let him know, just in case he hasn't been informed. He'll never be able to say, "Well, no one told me so." Tell him why you're opposing the agreement with China. And the acronym again is FIPA, Foreign Investment Protection Agreement. Canadians must oppose it at all costs.
And Harper's
so if they
got
can
full.
Write to, and they can also, they should be swamping Harper's office and the opposition so that they have the ammunition to fight it in the House of Commons when it comes up.
Do you think the other parties will even oppose it?
So far, the NDP have.
Mm-hmm. Well, here's the thing.
I've been in touch with Mulcair's office over mm-hmm. this entire issue for the past 2 weeks.
Well, here's the thing, Shelley-Ann. They can oppose it safely because there's a majority government.
Yes.
Doesn't matter what they say. This is the
yes,
thing.
You're
you
right.
Know, people are watching Mulcair hop up and down and flap his beard in people's faces, and they, oh, well, he's opposing it. Maybe there's a shot he'll take it down. Why should
but
he?
But because, Dee, if I may interrupt, because in Canada we don't have the two-year limit to vote in the same prime minister after 4 years,
mm-hmm.
people have to understand to state categorically that if you think that you're going to win the next election, if you proceed with signing that agreement, you'd better think again.
Yeah.
Canadians
then,
will not vote if he goes ahead with this.
And
that's what they
millions.
Should tell every MP and the Prime Minister.
And
because that's what I told them. I wrote to Harper, and I wrote to Joe Oliver, and I wrote to the NDP, and I wrote to a lot of MPs. And that's what I said, you know.
Well, you know, on the other hand, do these guys just, you know, go away and count their millions and
yes.
live out their life and not care anymore? Because that's what I suspect they do.
Me too. I agree.
You know, that they just, oh, so what? The country doesn't like us. So what? The country kicked us out. We'll go live in Belize and spend our millions there.
Yeah.
Well, I think that a lot of the MPs, though, do not have that kind of money.
No, they don't, but they don't have any
but
control.
But Harper would.
Well, I'm hearing, too, by the grapevine, I'm hearing that there's a little bit of a rebellion going on in the ranks up there, and I'm hoping that there are still some MPs who actually think about their children and grandchildren and the future of their own
family. I think there are some that do.
Well, then they need to stand up, too, don't they? Them and the
exactly.
journalists and the people, everybody stand up.
And the
up.
More the people respond and write to these MPs,
exactly.
the more it will
guy.
Give them the courage to stand up.
Yeah,
it'll
well,
give them the motivation to stand up and do something.
We need our moral courage because Harper is one man. He is one man. Okay?
And
he's
you know, of all the prime ministers we've had, he is the most dangerous.
Exactly. Yeah. Exactly. He
and that's why people are scared.
Guns. And we gave them to him. There's no doubt. We gave them to him. Well, we can
well,
take them back.
Well, this is what gets to me, is what's wrong with Canadians that put him back in?
Well, they're basically manipulated. Their information is manipulated. They believe there's actually a choice in an election, and they haven't seen the patterns. They haven't watched. And because they haven't been vigilant themselves and because the media has been compliant and complicit
exactly.
and are now prostitutes, okay, that's
yeah.
what they, you know, some of them actually have the cojones to call themselves prostitutes and quit. Others, like Jill Wynzowski, get fired for telling somebody in a private message
wow.
what they think about a trade agreement, get fired, and then when somebody else defends them, he gets fired. What kind
wow.
of situation do we have here?
I mean, it's really, really bad. It's
yeah.
really bad,
yeah.
and that's why we mustn't give up. We have to be strong and still keep pushing.
I yeah. think one of the things you need to do right now, Shelley Ann, I think you and Jill Wynzowski need to get together.
Okay.
I think that
that's
would be
fine
a real
with me
interesting
because I'm willing
combination.
To meet or speak with anyone.
Well, let's
that,
see. We can dig her up, I'm sure.
Okay, and I would like to ask you to speak to Jen
I
and
will.
See if she cannot organize something with the Indigenous people.
Well, I can
take a stand.
Well, I need to speak to her anyway, and I need to connect the two of you, and you know, let her deal with. The way she deals with things, she's a traditionalist. She's an awesome, awesome woman, and she has her ways of dealing with things, and she has some challenges. But you know, we need to get this information to her, yes, and
yeah.
we need to get her information out as well.
Yes,
because it
absolutely.
All ties together. What they did to the Indigenous,
so anything
they're
that
doing
I can
to
do to
us.
Help Dee, just send it. You know, send it over and. I will spread it.
All right,
that's
my dear.
Great.
All right.
So, Dee, you were going to go into Proposition 37.
Yeah, and we're right about at that point. Shelley, you're welcome to stay with
yeah,
us if
yeah,
you
please,
want.
Yeah, please, Shelley, stay
yes,
on.
Yes, I want to hear what you have to say about that.
Okay,
great.
Well, here's the thing. We have been subject to, in the alternative media and all over the place, especially in the health freedom groups, of a proposition that was voted on by the state of California during the presidential election. Now, down in the states, the people get to call for what is called propositions, where they get to vote on how the law should be in their state governing this or that. And Proposition 37 was the proposal that there be a law in California calling for the labeling of all food products that are that contain any genetically modified ingredients. Well, given that the emerging science, and I'm saying emerging because GMOs, although they have been around in small quantities for a long time, they're now in 90% of our packaged food. They are now endemic out there in the supermarkets, and it is estimated that an American eats his weight in GMOs every year. Now, is it any wonder that we have a spate of new allergies? We have a spate of digestive problems. We have a spate of cancers. We have a spate of all kinds of stuff. And now a study in Sherbrooke, Quebec, has found that 100% of new neonates, newborn babies, and their mothers had glyphosate, which is a Monsanto pesticide, used on GMO plants, including GMO corn and GMO soy, etc., etc. Okay, this pesticide is being found in the blood supply of 100% of mothers and babies. Now, this pesticide kills insects by exploding their stomachs, so it's no wonder that a lot of people now have what's called leaky gut syndrome, which allows bacteria to pass through the intestinal walls and lodge anywhere in your body it wants, causing all kinds of multifarious effects. Now, we never knew this before because when the FDA and Health Canada allowed these things to come onto the marketplace, they were only required to be tested for 90 days. And since there was only testing for 90 days, what that meant was none of the long-term effects were visible, none of them could be estimated, and the FDA basically said, and Health Canada, following with its nose up the rump of the FDA, basically said, oh, well, they're substantially equivalent to normal food and pose no risk whatsoever. Well, in the meantime, we've got cow herds that are dropping their calves spontaneously aborting. We have rats in studies that have testicular tumors. We have infertility. We have all kinds of very weird tumors popping up in animals that are going through testing. We have Monsanto and Syngenta and DuPont frantically screaming that all of this science is bogus. Okay, and then in the middle of all this, we have Proposition 37, which basically says the consumer has the right to know what he's eating. You have the right to know what's in your food. They've created a society where we don't grow our own anymore as we used to. Just only 150 years ago, we were growing our own food, most of us. Okay, and now we buy it all, and somebody else grows it. And do we have the right to know that it's safe? Do we have the right to choose between what God made and what they made? We should. Not according to the FDA, which has filed briefs in court in the state saying that the American people have no constitutional right guaranteed that says that they have control over what they eat. There's already been a ruling on that. Okay? So we have a situation in California. And the reason why it's important in California is because California has an economy larger than many countries in this world. They're huge. And in order to service the California economy, and considering that California is the fruit and veggie belt for the rest of us, because we all import California fruit and veg, okay, they've got a deal where California says GMO products have to be labeled. Well, if California says they got to be labeled, they're not going to do two kinds of labeling. They're going to label them everywhere. They don't want that. They don't want people afraid of their product. So they don't want that labeling. There's absolutely no other reason for them to oppose it. I mean, come on, they brag about everything else. If GMOs are so good, why aren't they bragging about them? Why aren't they slapping it on the label saying, genetically modified, good for you? Why aren't they doing that? Well, because they're dishonest, that's why. And now we have Proposition 37. And so the anti-Proposition 37 people, namely Monsanto, DuPont, Syngenta, Kraft, Kraft. Okay, get a load of some of these names. Kraft, Nestle, okay, Coca-Cola, Minute Maid, okay, even Kashi. These people gave money to stop this proposition in California, to stop the labeling. They all did. Look it up online. You'll absolutely crap yourself when you see who gave money to stop people knowing from what's in their food. Okay, so they spend $50 million, roughly, on trying to convince Californians to vote no against Proposition 37. In the meantime, the pro-Proposition 37 side gets about $5 million together and fights like hell. The battle is supposedly neck and neck. On election night, however, in the state of California, they announced that Proposition 37 was narrowly defeated by a percentage of 53 to 47%. There's only one problem. John Rappaport, who is an investigative reporter, Pulitzer-nominated, ran for Congress in 94, absolutely one of the best investigative guys on the planet, not afraid to tell the truth, comes out and says, wait a minute. I just checked with four polling stations in California and discovered that they haven't even counted all the votes yet. People go, what? Yeah, his first report was he had contacted four polling stations, and as a result of his conversations with them, had determined that they were at least 1.6 million ballots that had not yet been counted. Then he does further investigation. He discovers it's widespread and that the number of people who voted and have not had their ballots counted is now over 3 million. It's 3.3 million. Well, according to the numbers that were released, Proposition 37 lost by 559,000 votes. Okay, with 3.3 million votes yet to come, that little proposition could go either way. So why were we all told Proposition 37 failed? And why is it today he reveals that the pro-Proposition 37 campaign doesn't want to go after a result? They don't even have to report until December 7th. So why is it that people are assuming that Proposition 37 failed? It hasn't failed yet. They haven't counted the votes. And why aren't these people in jail? Because they're already playing that game. Why aren't these people in jail? So it starts to get really, really interesting when you realize here, this is vote fraud.
Mm-hmm.
This is vote fraud. In the course of getting that fraud together, Monsanto and their group posted a fellow in commercials who was touted as being a professor at Stanford. Turns out, he's no such thing. He belongs to a think tank that rents office space on the Stanford campus. He's got no affiliation with Stanford whatsoever. He's also the guy who said when Fukushima went all crazy, he is the guy who said that North Americans shouldn't need to worry about radiation because, after all, they use radiation in cancer therapy. Go out and take a bath in this stuff. You will be cancer-free. This is what the guy basically said. He's also a guy who was a lobbyist for big tobacco and went around saying, well, tobacco's not really harmful. Right? So this is Henry I. Miller, who they touted. Then they also attributed a quote from the FDA using the FDA seal. The quote was made up. The seal had they had no permission to use it. That is called a felony. So where is law enforcement to arrest these people for committing a felony? Why do they get a pass on breaking the law in front of God and everybody? Why is that? And this is the next people to call on in that list, is the enforcement agencies of this country. Don't you have kids? And don't you have grandchildren? And this is the kind of crap you're going to let your kids grow up in? Shame on you. Shame on you all. What kind of honor are you upholding by upholding this kind of trash? What kind of honor? How can you look in the mirror, any of you? That's what I'd like to know. I mean, at least I'm sitting on air here with three people who can look in the mirror and not be ashamed of what they see. And these people can't say the same. And our government can't say the same. And unfortunately, Canadians can't say the same. Americans can't say the same. Yeah. Where are your eggs, people? Where are the huevos? Land of the free, home of the brave? Show me. Show me. I'm from Missouri now. Show me. I'm coming from the show me state of mind. I want to see these people stand up and start asking questions and start calling people on the carpet because they have oaths and obligations to us and they are not honoring them. And because we take the fallout from it and we're the ones who are suffering and our kids are going to be the losers in the long run, I say, how dare they? And how dare any Canadian sit on their butt and let that happen to our kids? Shame on all of them. You know, come on, show me some guts here. Am I the only old broad who gets to stand up and mouth off along with my friend Shelley, who's a much more dignified old broad?
And that five...
I don't know. I don't know if I would call myself old, but that's okay, Dee.
Well, you know what?
I still think like a 29-year-old.
Yeah, well, you know, we all get to the... You know, if we have a brain... You know, it just doesn't, it doesn't happen to you. It just does. You don't get old if you have a brain. You don't have to get old. You don't have to feel
now,
old.
Now, that's very
and
true.
I don't feel old. I'm just using the word for effect. Like, come on, if I can do it at my age, what the hell is the matter with you young vigorous types?
And even
right
that
on.
Figure of 500,000 and whatever it was, even that is highly susceptible of voter fraud in its reporting. I mean,
of
I
course.
Don't believe that it possibly failed by that
well, come
amount.
Come on. Romney's family is the owners of the vote machines. Hello?
Oh.
Oh.
Really?
This is getting worse by the second here.
I know.
Romney's family
yeah.
is the owner of the vote
Google
machine.
It. Man, they're all over the place. These people have their fingers in every pie. They
yeah.
don't make a move. They, you know what? I was around a lot of Jewish people when I was growing up, and you know, a lot of my friends and schoolmates and everything else. And the one thing that always struck me, because I've worked for Jewish employers too, it always struck me that when they were negotiating, okay, when Jewish business people were negotiating, they would negotiate in such a way that at some point somebody would be able to say, everybody makes. Okay?
Every...
That was their idea of a good deal. Everybody makes money.
Oh yeah, I see.
Okay? And I'm looking at this and I'm going, you know what? They've got something there. Because what they're doing is they're bringing everybody in an equitable way to the table. Okay? But they do it for us. They don't do it for themselves. But our government is doing anything but that with us. There everybody makes is a very short list. And it doesn't include Canadians, doesn't include Americans, doesn't
no.
include Mexicans, doesn't include anybody.
No.
Just their own little group. And how can they sleep nights? Well, my belief is they don't believe that they're cut from the same cloth as we are. They literally do not believe it. They literally believe they're a higher form of being, and they get to say whether we live or die. That's the attitude. They don't give us a second thought.
Yeah.
Now, in some societies, you'd call that a psychopath.
Yeah. Yeah, for sure.
You know, but, I mean, you look at Proposition 37. Come on, people. It hasn't even lost yet. Why are you assuming it lost? And why is the campaign saying, oh, we're not interested in pursuing that?
Yeah, why do you think that is?
Well, I'm absolutely at a loss for words on that one, Christopher, because the only conclusion I can come up with...
Yeah.
The only conclusion that I can come up with there is like there's something wrong.
Yeah,
there's something seriously wrong.
Yeah.
Because why would they not? Come on, you got them by the short hairs. What are you doing?
Yeah.
What are you doing?
You should stop buying the products.
Well, I mean, we have to do that, too. We have to do that anyway. We have to do that everywhere. Europe did it, got them kicked out.
Yeah.
61 countries in the world say no to GMO. What's the matter with ours? They can't take advice on anything else, how to run our banks, our schools, our commerce, our trade, our economic basis, our resource basis. They'll tell us advice on it, and our government will take that advice. Why can 61 countries say no to GMO and our country doesn't listen? Well, that alone is a good question.
It has to do with, why are European people have stronger characters and are not so, have they been through a lot more than we have earlier on, and that's why they've built nations of strong people that are not afraid to stand up and say no?
Well, you see, here's another factor, and we're coming hard on the hour, Shelley. We don't have much more time. So I really want to get this out because it's something for people to consider as well. These guys who are running this show are not stupid, okay? They really have, they have a nuance and a plan B for everything. And I'm looking at this situation with GMOs, and if they can just stall long enough with the complicity of the FDA, and bear in mind, the deputy commissioner of the FDA used to be the vice president of Monsanto.
Oh.
Okay? So that's just one guy.
Yeah.
That's just one out of many. They've got a revolving door thing that's been exposed for years with Health Canada and the FDA and these biotech companies like Monsanto and DuPont, et cetera, and the pharma companies, Pfizer, Merck, are the biggest ones in Canada that are trading staff with Health Canada. Okay, so you got all that going on. And all they have to do with GMOs is simply delay long enough, because what is the nature of GMOs? They contaminate. And if they stall long enough and get enough GMO out there, it won't matter what our government says. It won't matter what they ban, because all the fields will be irrevocably contaminated, and that will be that. So this is how important. Like I said at the top of the hour, I said every 4 years you can get rid of a government. Okay? You can't get rid of GMOs. Once they're there, that's permanent. That's forever. That's your health and everything else forever. And when you look at some of the effects of what have been going on, look at India.
Yeah.
They've got 1,500 farmers a month committing suicide because they're bankrupted because of Monsanto.
Yeah.
Why? Because, well, they started planting their Brindal cotton and stuff over there. And they said, oh, no, you have to buy seed from us. Well, when they started out, their seed was like 15 rupees a bushel, and then it went up to 3,500. It started out 35 rupees, went up to 1,500. And when this bankrupted the farmers, along with the fact that half of India is a dust bowl, okay, and the BT cotton takes a lot more fertilizer and water than they've got, their crops all failed.
Yeah.
Okay, so they're in bankruptcy, their family's starving, 1,500 of them a month are killing themselves. Thank you, Monsanto.
Horrible.
Now, one question I got for everybody out there is this. If you're a company of honorable people, and bear in mind, I don't care if they give it corporate personhood. I don't give a hairy hoot about that. The bottom line is nothing moves without the people behind it. And no matter what they say, no matter what label they stick on it, that is the way it is. There are always people making the decisions, not pieces of paper. These people in an honorable company, if they find out their product is harming people and especially children, what should they do?
Close their eyes and fall asleep. How about that?
Well, that's what they do.
That's
okay?
What they do.
But
yes.
If they were honorable And wouldn't they care about the children that they're harming? Wouldn't they care about the people they're harming? Wouldn't they care about the damage they're doing and say, wait a minute, back to the drawing board for us. Sorry, people, we didn't mean to do this.
But they don't.
But they don't. So I say, what kind of human beings are these people?
Yeah.
That they
yeah.
can sit there and do harm to other people and other people's children and even their own, and when the first question is raised, don't some of them say, oh my God, what have we done? Don't some of them even think that? And once they think that, how do they work there? How do they not speak out? How do they not protect the children of this planet and the future of this planet? How
yeah.
do they not?
It reminds me of the letter you wrote to the Monsantos in Canada, Dee. What a letter that was that you wrote.
Oh, that was yeah. And you know, this was an exchange between me and Trish Jordan, who is the PR director for Canada for Monsanto. And when I asked her, why can't people have labels on what they eat? Why are you so ashamed of them that you hide them? Okay. She says, oh, they already are labeled. I go, what? And her explanation is, well, if you read in the ingredients, if it has in the ingredients corn or soy or canola or cottonseed or any of that, it's genetically, or sugar, it's genetically modified.
Wow.
And I said, can you say cop out?
Cop out,
COPOUT, cop out. The population does not know the truth.
And these corporations seem to own our government. I mean, that seems to be the problem.
Uh-huh. No
yeah.
kidding. FDA, Deputy Commissioner. Okay?
Yeah.
VP Monsanto. Okay?
Yeah.
Says it all right there. Multiply them dozens of ways from Sunday. But, Christopher, we're hard on the hour.
Yeah, we're coming down to the end. So, well, we should thanks, Shelly. Again.
Oh, Shelly, bless you for being here. We do need such a soul as you, and we're so glad you're here.
Thank you very much, Dee. You're very welcome.
And we'll have you back again as well.
Yes,
please.
And we'll bring Keto on to be with you, Keto. We need you.
Yes, that would be lovely.
Yes,
yeah.
And
do.
Dr. Holmes, I hope that that one of these days that we have the opportunity to meet.
Yeah, I'm close to you. I'll give you a call and we'll
make an
appointment.
Yes, give me a call. Dee has my
Great.
New phone number.
Okay.
So give me a call and I'll bring you a copy of my book.
Thank you. Wow. Okay.
You're very
great.
Welcome.
Okay,
awesome.
Goodbye.
Thank you again,
Have a
Shelley.
Great evening.
You too.
Okay. Wow. AD, it's just so terrible what's being done to our people, the people of the States, the people of Canada, by these corporations and bankers. It's terrible. They all need to be imprisoned. They really do.
Yeah, they do, because they're doing harm and nobody's doing anything about it. And as far as I'm concerned, all you sheeple who are sitting on your rumps, you need to get up. The couch is on fire. Which do you prefer, blisters or a little fight?
Yeah, I must say I'm beginning to feel like, myself injured by it all.
You can't help but you go grocery shopping, okay? Grocery shopping. See who's shopping in the big-name stores anymore. See who's shopping at No Frills and Food Basics and, you know, that places like that where the discounts are. You'd be amazed at how packed those stores are in comparison to stores like Sobeys.
Yeah. Yeah, good. Good.
Yeah, well,
okay.
Serves them right.
Okay, thanks, Dee. Thanks a lot for being on today.
Yeah, it was fun today, wasn't it? Isn't Shelly-Ann great?
Yeah, she is. Yeah, she really is. Okay, so, and for anyone, my website's at zeropoint.ca, and my books are mainly on mystical occult teachings, and this is kind of our sideline now is kind of opposing this new world order, which is being imposed upon us. And Say again?
Exposing it, because it's already there. It's just, it just needs fleshing
out
here and there, and they've got it.
Exactly.
And that's only because of our ignorance. So We're lucky with BBS Radio. Thank you guys for providing the airtime. Thank you for allowing us to help people to understand. A calamity threatens our happiness, for sure.
Yeah, exactly.
For sure.
Okay, so thank you all, and we'll be back in 2 weeks' time.
We will indeed.